This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back to Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. I'm clearly not Dave Brown because I'm me. Dave Brown is away today, but he will be back on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend, Dave. Time now for AMI at the Movies. And yesterday, before leaving on his day off, Dave had a chance to speak to our entertainment critic, Michael McNeely. And Michael was previewing the upcoming Disney film Jungle Cruise, starring Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt. Now, before we get into their discussion and hear Michael's preview, let's have a look and listen to a trailer clip.
A captain plays guitar for a passenger on his riverboat.
So what are you doing out here?
Explorers rappel into a cave.
There is a legend in the jungles of the Amazon of a tree that heals all. It could change the world. But if it gets into the wrong hands, it could awaken a great evil.
A snake stalks them.
I believe that the legend is real.
Which it's not.
And I'm going to find it.
Which you want.
And when I do, just imagine the lives that could be saved.
Disney presents...
I've been looking for this tree longer than anybody.
The boat steams through the rapids.
I've tracked the legend to every village, every island. Nothing. You're searching for something that can't be found.
The passenger shows a leaf-shaped necklace.
But you've never had the key.
That is a trailer clip of Jungle Cruise. And here is our host, Dave Brown, along with our entertainment critic, Michael McNeely, with his preview of that film.
From Mike Ross to Michael McNeely. Hey, good morning, Michael. How are you?
I am great. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too, my friend. Okay, let's jump into this, The Jungle Cruise. The film is based on an amusement park ride of the same name found in four Disney theme parks around the world. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
I wish I had the opportunity to go on the ride for this segment, but AMI could not approve that. travel expense. However, I think it's interesting to know that the Jungle Cruise has been around for a long time. Probably since the beginning of the opening of those Disneylands in question. And is in fact just intended to be an exciting experience for riders. Well, they get to experience what it would be like to travel some of the biggest rivers of the world, such as the Congo and the Nile River. And ultimately, when you're in the ride, it's like you're on a riverboat and you're being driven or you're being guided by a tour guide. And you're being told about the different attractions along the way. You can see elephants, you can see zebras, you can see... And of course, these are animatronic animals, so they're not real animals. But I've been told that they look quite real. And the riders get to have a lot of fun. And they also get to pretend that they're in danger sometimes because some of the animals will attack the riders as well.
Okay, so the ride sounds fun. But what is the plot of the adaptation of The Jungle Cruise?
So, good question. Essentially, Dwayne Johnson plays a riverboat captain in the early part of the 20th century who has to guide Emily Blunt's character, who is a doctor. And the doctor is looking for the Tree of Life, which is essentially going to be a miracle cure to whatever ailments are plaguing the current world or the contemporary world. And so they're just on an adventure to find a Tree of Life.
So you mentioned that this film stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt. So how did The Rock convince Emily Blunt to co-star in this film?
In short, by asking again and again and again and again. Emily Blunt apparently was just the number one top pick, but she was busy. with The Quiet Place Part 2 and with taking care of her family at home due to the pandemic, so she wasn't really energized about this idea. But the producers, the director, and The Rock kept asking, and The Rock even made a video just for Emily Blunt to watch, and he pleaded with her to come. But funnily enough, Emily Blunt did not respond to that video, and Dwayne accused her of ghosting him. But it's all good now, because I think that just adds to the chemistry that they have in the film.
I do wonder if there was a big bag of money involved, too. Sometimes that will sway some opinions as well. Michael, other than the amusement park ride, what are some other inspirations to this film?
Well, I have one right here with me, so prop time. I can get a good look at this poster. It's the African Queen, and I'm looking at myself in the screen. And to describe it a bit better, you get to see that there's Katharine Hepburn staring at Humphrey Bogart, who is at the top, and Humphrey Bogart looks quite grizzled. And in fact, that is the original riverboat captain and the original doctor going on a tour, or going down the Nile, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And they were trying to escape from the Germans at that time. So I think that's one of the main inspirations of the film. And I'm hoping that this film, The Jungle Cruise, will be a little bit different than what we had before. I would also recommend that everyone check out that movie, The African Queen, because it is a classic. I would also indicate that this film, The Jungle Cruise, is inspired by a lot of the romantic banter of those earlier films, such as in the 1930s to 60s, where the woman and the man were pretty much equals, and they both had one-liners to kind of, you know, get one over the other.
Mm.
And so you can think about Romance in the Stone back in the 80s with Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas, who just reunited basically for Michael Douglas's show. And then ultimately, you can also think about Indiana Jones, which might be a big influence.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what are people hoping is the biggest draw to this film? And do you agree with that idea?
So you're asking me about the biggest draw to the film?
Yeah, what do people think the biggest draw to this film is going to be?
I think part of the draw will be being able to go on an adventure. Well, many of us have been confined to our own homes and limited in terms of our day-to-day activities. I think I personally like to go on an adventure, so I like these kinds of films a lot. I think another big draw would be what I just mentioned is the romantic banter and the chemistry. I don't think we've had a film quite like that style, and hopefully it would make a return to when the characters are just able to, you know, talk back and forth and make jokes and make fun of each other. But everybody will know that, you know, it's all good at the end.
Mm. Disney has been trying out hybrid releasing on both its own streaming platform, Disney Plus, and to the cinemas. How did that work out for Black Widow?
So that's a good question. So when Black Widow opened, it seemed to be doing quite well. It got $80 million in the box office, and it got $60 million in Disney streaming. However, the following weekend, it seemed to do quite poorly. I think it got $26 million in the box office, and the streaming was not reported, which led a lot of consultants and analysts to think that maybe Disney was not doing quite well, since they were not talking about their box office or their streaming numbers. So a lot of the critics and analysts now are thinking that it's too much of a good thing. So for example, usually in the past, we had to wait for a film to come on streaming, which meant that everybody went to the theater, and then everybody went to see streaming afterwards if they wanted to watch it again, or if they missed out on it and they heard a friend like the movie. they wouldn't watch it on streaming. But when, now, when you have both opportunities at the same time, that means less money is going anywhere. There's an increased chance of piracy and, you know, streaming to your friends and your family who don't have accounts. That's happening as well. And what I would mention in my addition to all this is that there is, you know, there has to be a bit of word of mouth. Mm. There has to be a bit of intrigue. So, like, I could go to you, Dave, and I could say, oh, did you watch Black Widow last week? Oh, did you like it? And you could tell me, yes, I did. And then I would go and see it the following weekend.
Right.
So we don't have that anymore. Because technically, if I tell you that Black Widow is on streaming, you can watch it any time in the next 10 years. So it's just one of those cultural shifts that I think we really need to pay attention to. And that I think Disney is going to back away from this duo release model, because the next MCU film, which we'll talk about sometime, is not going to be released in this model.
Mm. Okay, speaking of cultural shifts, back in 2019, my favorite director, Martin Scorsese, had this to say about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Quote, "Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well-made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being." Michael, do you agree with that statement?
I think Martin Scorsese is a bit elitist. I think many of our greatest films are like amusement park rides. And even this one, which is an amusement park ride, just like when I was talking about the Jungle Cruise ride, the whole intention was to get the riders excited, to get them curious, to get them adventurous, to get them to pretend that they were explorers. So I think those are the feelings that a good movie could actually induce in the audience. I don't think roller coasters are all loop-de-loops and screaming at the top of your voice. I think there are some contemplative and reflective rides, and those are the rides that I think movies can be. But also, at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with a ride that is just exciting and, you know, showing you how it's like to be a daredevil. I think it's okay to have fun, too.
Mm. Michael, last question here. Jungle Cruise is not the first time Disney has made a movie based on one of their rides. What are some other notable rides that have been made into movies that you recommend we watch?
So you're asking about other rides that Disney has turned into films?
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
So we know that Pirates of the Caribbean has been a ride that somehow turned into a 5-film series. We also know that Tomorrowland was turned into a film that did not do quite well, but still has some interest to me because it's an interesting idea with the science fiction world. I think The Haunted Mansion is also a ride. So yeah, there's other things that have been turned into films. So, I mean, it's interesting because for a while we had board games that were turned into movies, and now we're doing amusement park rides. So sometimes you just have to ask yourself, will they turn my light here into a movie? Or will they turn the computer keyboard into a movie? Who knows?
Michael, it's always a wild ride talking to you, my friend. Have yourself a nice weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. And be safe out there on your Jungle Cruise, Dave.
I'll do my best on my Jungle Cruise to stay extra safe. That's Michael McNeely. I hand things back over to Mike Ross. Mike, I've got a question for you. Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Dave, I'm giving you my, the people's eyebrow. I'm doing the Rock people's eyebrow as best I can. That was Dave Brown speaking with our entertainment critic, Michael McNeely, with a preview of Jungle Cruise. Now, this is a film that comes our way on July 30th. It's rated PG-13. And remember, you can follow Michael McNeely on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Michael D. McNeely, and McNeely is McNeely. Coming up after a quick break, we're going to have Corinne Van Dusen rejoin us here with her big business story of the day here on AMI Audio and AMI TV. It's Now with Dave Brown.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.